today's this discussion, before I get going, I want you to think. 3 months ago, 4 months ago, we all around here, standing around here, really, complaining. I was in the group too. Yeah, you know, 83. Remember 83? Those morons, there was nothing wrong with that road. They just can dug it all up, put bigger holes there. They put bigger holes there. And we said, what are they doing? Government. And then for a lot of us in this room, government. You know, Social Security. Don't you take away that money. Government. And so sometimes, you know, our relationship with government can be a good one or it can be a bad one. And over these last 10, 12 years, something unique, not so much unique, but something, I wouldn't say, you're terrible in this country. If you go back over the last 10 years and start thinking about the divisive nature, how everybody seemed to going this way or that way. And then you have certain groups that are Romans 13 will use Romans 13 to justify their positions. And then the same Romans 13 is used to justify somebody else's position. And so we need to, I think I decided to pick up on 13 because I think it's time that we address our government, but more specifically, we address ourselves. And so having said that, hold on to your butts, because I've been thinking about this for a long time. And so when I had the opportunity to talk about Romans 13, I jumped right on it. But before we begin, let us pray. Precious Lord, Father God, once again, you found favor in us, O God, because we are here. And because you have brought us to this place at this appointed time, the time that you appointed and ordained, Father God, I just ask and pray in Jesus' precious name that as we sit here and as we fellowship one with another and listen to your words, O God, I pray that your words will not be returned to you in vain. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Now, having said that, rock and roll. I want you, three phrases I'm gonna say. Submission is not passivity. Honor does not cancel out justice. Prayer is never an option. As we get into 13, I want you to kind of think back and put yourself where you are as we all make our walk, as we walk with God. And I want you to think, what is your relationship? Well, we have a great relationship here amongst the congregation. We have a great relationship. But out there, where's that relationship? Out there, down at City Hall, where's our relationship? And here it comes. You know, as we get into this campaigning season. What is our relationship there? Is it still focused on the one thing? Who has the authority, or whose authority, or by whose authority, or who is in charge? And oftentimes, even in the church, there's a little confusion. You know, when you look at the administrators as to who's running this. But who's running our government? Today I got Romans 13, and I break it down. I'm with three sections of Romans 13. And so if you want to follow along, we're going to entertain the question, what is the purpose of government? What is your role in government? And what is your role amongst each other? The Apostle Paul does a nice job of answering what is our relationship with government and amongst ourselves. And the words, it is quite clear. It's very clear. At least it is to me. You know, and let's just be assured, and I'll go out on a limb and say it. Let's just be assured that when Jesus come, he will not be riding an elephant, and he certainly won't be on a donkey. You can take that to the bank. So here we go. What is our relationship? Ordained by God. Government was ordained by God. You can go all the way back to Genesis. You go all the way back to Exodus. It was ordained by God. And so here we go. Paul writes, and I'll start out in the first verse, answers the question. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he, and we're talking about he, is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is a minister of God, a revenger. And we're not talking about the Marvel brothers either, or the Marvel characters. A revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Now, I'll stop there with the first four verses here, because it clearly outlines what government, what government really is. And the Apostle Paul, he urges that our government, human government, is generally a reflection of God's desire for an orderly society. Orderly society. You know, that orderly society means there has to be, what's orderly? There has to be an agreement. We have to live peacefully amongst our neighbors. If we have arguments with our neighbors, we should be able to settle them with the aid of government peacefully. There shouldn't be any wrath, chaos, or confusion. God, our God, is not a God of chaos, wrath, and fusion. It's not. So having said that, that is the purpose of government, is to protect us. And in that protection, Paul urges, we are to give homage to that government, to that leader, because that leader, in theory, you may say, is put there or ordained by God. So, verse 5, wherefore ye must need be subjects, not only for the wrath, but also for the conscience, for conscience sakes. For this cause may ye pray I forgot to mention that, but we will. That nasty word that starts with a T. Hold that thought. For they are God's ministers attending continually upon this very thing. Let me just flip over here. Rail writing. Render, therefore, all their dues. Some texts may say taxes. To tribute to whom tribute is due. Custom to whom customs. Fear to whom fear. Honor to whom fear. Give to Caesar what is due Caesar. Give unto God what is owed God. Now, we don't like that word. Citizens. Taxes. How many like paying them? No hands. So that means you don't like paying them. That means you're in revolt against the government. Everybody's supposed to say, we love our taxes. Yeah, they tore up 83, your tax dollars at work. We don't like the way they spent that money. Sometimes we love the way they spend money. It's nice for Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security. Those are good things. Taxes are not. But somebody got to pay for these. Government. And so we have this love-hate relationship with government. But let me just go ahead and continue. This obedience thing. Now we got to talk about the good old obedience. For it says in there over render, therefore. Let me just back up to 6. Let me be thorough here. We have to, therefore, you must be subject to. You got to be obedient to the government. And here lies our problems. This is one of the problems. And where I think Romans 13 really lays it out. And sometimes it pricks my heart. Let's just call it what it is. You know, some politicians I just don't like. Some of the laws that are made, I just don't like. And what does the Apostle Paul say about that? You know, you got to remember when the Apostle Paul wrote this, he wrote this during the time of probably one of the worst kings, Nero. persecuted Christians, beat them up, all kinds of nasty things he did. He killed his wives. He was bad. But he was the ruler. And so what happens about this obedience? Is there a limit? Huh? See, you got to read the fine print. So you jump out of Romans 13. If you go over for an example, we had a couple of apostles were ordered by ruling authorities to stop preaching. Now, a lot of the apostles got in trouble, including the apostle Paul, got in a lot of trouble preaching about Jesus. Huh? And they respectively, but firmly disobeyed the order. You are not supposed to talk about Jesus. They said over in Acts 5:29, we must obey God rather than human beings. That's what they said. Huh? Oh, and it gets a little, you know, I use Shadrach over there in Daniel's as a nice lead into that. Yeah, because the king said everybody got to bow down, the decree, everybody got to bow down and worship the God that I made. And those three men say, no, we can't do that. That's an unlawful order. It violates our principles of our God. That's unlawful, king. Well, you're going into the fire. Now, I can flip over to the New Testament. You know, sometimes things went good and sometimes things went bad when you oppose what the government has ordered you to do. Yeah? I can go over here and talk about, a good one and a bad one. Hey, do you remember Nathan and David? Nathan goes to David. You have sinned. Now, if you recall, what was David's response? Now, understand, David, very, very powerful king, great king. He had the authority. He could have taken Nathan and said, I'm going to cut off your head. Come into my house and disrespect me, and I'm the king. I can cut off your head. I can certainly have you jailed. There's a number of things I can do to you. But what did David do? What did he do? If you go back and read it, he accepted responsibility for doing something that he knew as king, and he's the so-called authority. As a king, he knew that that went against God's will. That violated God's principle. And he paid for it. But what he didn't do is he didn't take Nathan and jail him. Didn't do it. Now, as you jump over into the New Testament, in John went to the authorities and said, well, you can't marry the wife of your brother. You can't do that. That goes against God's will. And it didn't work out well for John. John the Baptist didn't work out well. Didn't work out well for him. And so, advocating obedience. Obedience first to who? To God's, which means when you read chapter Romans 13, you know, unlawful orders. Thus that order violates God's principles, God rules, God commandments. It's like night and day to me. I don't know why there's so much confusion. I don't know why there's so much division. If we are abiding by the same laws that have been passed down over generation of generations, if we are abiding by God's word, it doesn't matter who's in authority. Whose authority? By whose authority? It wouldn't matter. Whether it's Democrat or Republican, wouldn't matter. As long as you don't violate God's order. And so moving right along, hey, I like this. Everybody kind of quiet, huh? Yeah. No amens, no hallelujahs. Boy, this is a tough crowd. Really, it's a tough crowd. It's going to get tougher. Because as a citizen, and a part of your responsibility to government, because government is nothing more than men. You know, you can be president. I wouldn't vote for you, but you could be. Having said that, you know, they are human like we all are. And sometimes, you know, there's opposition to what you may say or do. There's opposition. And so also over as we through going over into, let me read, continue to read to, over in 8. Oh, no man anything but to love. But to love one another, for the loveth of one another hath fulfilled the law. Advocating love. We use that word a lot. Oh, I love you. I love him. I love her. And I got to be quite honest with you. It's hard for me to love certain people. I'll be honest with you. It's kind of hard for me to show. It's a sanctuary. It's kind of hard for me sometimes to show that godly love. Not that I'm going to go out and there are some people, Mike, that if I'm driving a bus and they slip and fall into the road, well, I'm not going to accelerate. But I'm not going to step on the brakes either. So, but that's, yeah, you pray for me on that one. Pray for me on that one. Advocating for truth and justice. Here we go. A submission to authority does not demand total silence or obedience or blind approval of every policy. Throughout the Bible, believers and prophets respectfully challenge rulers over unjust laws or unethical behavior. Yeah, nothing is new. Well, I already mentioned John the Baptist got his head cut off. Sure did. And then how about the Apostle Paul himself? Oh, I love him. Well, yeah, I really love Apostle. Oh, yeah. You can go over there. Over in Acts 22, chapter 22, 24 to 29. I won't read all of it, but I summarize it. And this is how you play the government. He played the government very well. And so if you go there and you read that passage, and so the Apostle Paul is out preaching the gospel, and there are people, they got mad at him and wanted him to be arrested. The Romans guards came and they arrested old the Apostle Paul. And according to the Bible, they were getting ready to, the Apostle Paul was getting ready to get a beat down. They're getting ready to beat him up, chain him, to haul him off the jail. But I can just see. I can see the beauty of him and how he manipulated the government to get his way. And so he allowed the soldiers to bound him up. And just before they're getting ready to whoop him, he says, is it not unlawful for you to penalize a Roman citizen? And the guard, the captain says, I'm a Roman citizen. You know, I paid a lot to become a Roman citizen. And the Apostle Paul says, but I'm a Roman citizen by birth. Isn't it unlawful for you to beat me up? They didn't. They said, you're right. And so in that instance, the Apostle Paul used the government to his advantage. And look what he did and how he did it. You know, now, if it was me, I don't know about you, but if it had been me and I'm getting ready to get a beat down, you're a citizen. Oh, you're not a citizen. We're going to beat you up. And then we're going to lock you. And then we're going to deport you. We're going to beat you up and get out of here. Well, wait a minute. See, I would have been screaming right away. Here are my papers right now because I don't want to get that beat down because I know I'm a citizen. I know my rights. I would have made it known right away. But not the Apostle Paul. He let it go all the way up to right there. Then he says, bang, can't do it. Can't do it. I know my law. I know the law. I know my rights. Non-peaceful demonstration. Non-peaceful demonstration. We've talked about non-peaceful demonstrations in this country for years. For years. And so petitioning the government, there's a couple of ways to do it. And some of us, I'll get to that in a few minutes, some of us kind of like want to ignore certain things, but we just bring this all out. Peaceful demonstration, petitioning the government in peace to bring about your concerns or the like thereof, as opposed to, I don't know, violent demonstrations. We don't want to have violent demonstrations. And so, as I move into verses 10 through 14, just let me stop for a few minutes and ask you, what do you consider to be good government? What is good government? Well, I don't know, Mike, I'm looking at you and say, well, a government where I don't have to pay any taxes. Yes. You know, a government where my gas. Hey, when I first started driving, you too. When I first started learning how to drive legally, gas was 9 cents a gallon. How about you? Do you remember those days? Anybody besides me? Look at it now. And so why are we paying so much to get so little? Government need to do something. Well, what are they doing? Are you happy with it? Yes or no? So think about it. Sometimes government can be good. Sometimes it can be bad. And so Paul, the Apostle Paul, comes over here, does a nice job. As I go through, I'm going to go reading from 10 to 14. Loveth work no ill to his neighbor. Now, let me stop right there. Loveth work no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Now, previously, I skipped 9, but let me just jump back up to 9. I lost that. In verse 9, it says, for this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witnesses, thou shalt not covet it. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. A functioning government is a government of love. People that do good, we get awarded. Maybe we get a break on our taxes. Maybe the roads that didn't need repairing get repaired, whether we wanted them to get repaired or not. You know, maybe if you're on a municipal water system, and maybe we get real good, running, clean, safe water to drink. Or if you are, I don't know, if you're a vaccine person or not. Saving lives, that's a function of government, is to protect us, keep us healthy, save our lives. Good functioning government so that we all may live in harmony and in peace. A good functioning government brings about those things. A non-functioning government brings about chaos. Think about that for a second. And so, over in verse 11, and that, knowing that the time is now, it is high time. Okay, it is high time to wake out of sleep. For now is our salvation near than when we believed. This is talking to us now, because we have been sleeping. You know, Martin Luther King had got a speech. I have a dream. Everybody has heard of that dream. That speech. I have a dream. Dreams are good. As opposed to nightmares. We've had those too. But we all like to dream, and we all like our dreams to be happy dreams. Sometimes we don't even want to wake up because it's such a nice dream. But you know, sooner or later, you have to wake up. Even if you're sleepwalking, you got to wake up. And then what you wake up to, and sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad. We have been sleepwalking. We have been sleepwalking. You look at what's going on around us. You look at what's going on around us right now. We have been really sleepwalking. Now, I don't want to pull and throw punches at any political party, because in my opinion, I think they all need to go back and read Romans 13. They all need to go back and spend some time in the book of Acts. They really need to go back and reacquaint themselves with the Word of God. Because when they do, I think our government will become a much more effective and functioning government. And then as far as love, we say it all the time. Love thy neighbor as thyself. That's such a simple commandment to do. But we have problems with that. And just imagine if you love your neighbor as you love yourself, you know, and I love you and you are my neighbor, and you become, I don't know, head of the city council, president. I love you. But then I should be able to go to you and I should be able to say, you know, I think that that one law that you made, that was, I don't know about that. That kind of sucks a little bit, huh? And you would say, well, let me consider, as opposed to having me thrown, locked, handcuffed and thrown in jail. Mm-hmm. Or if I write something that you don't like, I get censored. Or I get primaried. Think about that one. Hmm? A good functioning government listens to its citizens. Take lessons from his citizens. Oh, all right, let me finish this. Okay, so we're going to wake up. Let us walk honestly in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envy. Strife and envy. How much strife and envy do we see now? And then there is in the same Romans 13, here it comes, functioning government. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust and thereof. Hmm? In other words, as we walk through this life dealing with our government, let us walk in truth. Let us walk in honesty. Let us walk with loving one another, and let us walk caring for one another. For if we do this, our government, we won't have a problem. There won't be any chaos or confusion. There won't be, but there is. You know, I have to say this in closing. How you like that? Now everybody say amen. Hallelujah. Yo, you guys, you're not right. You're just not. In closing, I think Romans 13, I've kind of summed it up a little bit. But personally speaking, you know, speaking not only as a former military, follow orders. And then you may have heard that some orders that are unlawful. Yeah, they can be unlawful orders. And then as far as the government is concerned, but my duty as a citizen, the ultimate job as a citizen, regardless of who is in power. You know, have you ever heard the statement, love conquers all?
Yes.
It works, folks. It works. When I first started working at the university, the chairperson, she didn't like me. Go figure. She did not like me. And I'm thinking about this Christian walk. Years ago, I said, you don't like me, I don't like you either. You don't talk to me, I'm not going to talk to you either. Yeah, fine, right? Fair is fair. No, it's not. My brother, Nate told me that. He says, no. If you call yourself a Christian and somebody don't like you, then you are obligated to go find out why. What is the problem that they're having with you? Maybe they just don't know. Maybe it's envy. Maybe it's strife. Maybe, I don't know. But you need to go find out. Why can't we get along? So, I over the course of time, I will see the old chair and I will, hi, Dr. Sarias, hi. And one day, I can't say that it was the devil in me that made me do it. Well, no, it wasn't the devil that made it. It was the Holy Spirit. And one day I went over and I just gave her a hug. I just walked up to her and said, oh, look like you need a hug. And then I turned and walked away. She needed a hug because she had just lost a loved one. And I just gave her that hug and I walked away, knowing I was expecting her to maybe call the campus police on me and get me arrested for sexual assault or something. But no. And then 3 weeks later, she comes into my office and she tells me that. She said, I really needed that at the time. And we got to know each other. Now we're like this. Oh, yeah, we're like this now. Hmm? And so the message out of chapter 13 is that love thing, as you walk make the walk in your Christian life, you are obligated, you are commanded to reach out and help your brother and sister, even if you don't like them. Even if you don't like them, you're obligated to do that. And if we all do that, then Romans 13 will fall in exactly the way the Apostle Paul thinks government should be. A government that protects, a government that promotes safety, a government that promotes love. And those that do not want to do these things, the evildoers, we got a place for them. That's it. I know why you're saying that. You know, you got to admit, I've gotten better. That old Southern, that I've gotten rid of that. PowerPoints will make me talk forever. Oh, yeah. So if I keep it, I stay focused. So anyway, let us pray. Precious Lord, Father God, we are so grateful. We are thankful for you continue to bless us, O God. And as we continue this day that you have already ordained, Father God, I just ask and pray in Jesus' name that as we leave this place, as we encounter your children, O God, as we encounter other loved ones, O God, that we reach out and embrace them just as you embraced us on every single day. Continue to walk with us, order our steps, O God. I pray that the leaders that you have put in place, O God, that you will prick their hearts and remind them by of whose authority they are or they exist because of your authority. I thank you, O God, for allowing me to be in this place again so that I can speak your words, God, so that I can fellowship with my friends, O God, and that we can continue to express our love for each other. Bless our coming in, and I pray, oh God, that you bless our going away. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.